My name is Larry Parrish. I've been associated with this church for probably 50 years or close to it. Jody, my wife, has been associated with it even more. And so we have history here. And so the question that I would be asking is, why are you here? And where are you going? And I'm kind of leading up to the business meeting with this. And right now I want to invite everybody that is associated with the church, not just a member, so that you can hear where we're going. So many times we at leadership meetings are really moving full speed ahead with construction, with God's plans. And you guys miss that. And so if you've got grandkids or you have kids that's going to be tied into Tall Oaks, you may want to stick around and hear what's going on, hear it firsthand instead of any other communication. The last 3 years, I've worked with several different ministries, missionaries who want to get started in missions ministries that are beyond missions, and I always have them come into the office, and we begin with prayer, and then I ask them, where do you see God calling your ministry? And so they always give a very, this is what I want, and as we proceed, we get into an area that I've been called vision casting. That's a word that I've never heard of 3 years ago. And so now I'm finding out that there's articles written about vision casting. And so vision casting is something that gets beyond our plans and lines up with God's plans. There's two scriptures that I want to have you stay with me today with, and it's Habakkuk, and I'm hoping it's going to show up on that screen right there. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. That revelation is vision. A lot of the translations, King James will say vision. So write down the vision. And you're going to hear me reply back a couple times about the vision of this church that started 70 years ago. The other verse that I want you to hear is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope, a plan for the future. That's where we're at. We have felt that God is fulfilling the vision that he set with Doc Broker years ago, where we're in a position to do something today about it, and that we feel that his timing is now. And working with different groups, like I said, I've worked with 5 or 6 groups in the last 3 years that have a call. Nate Colson with Garden Missions, some of you may know him. He came out of this church and different churches around the area. He came into my office and said, Larry, I feel called to Zambia. And as we began to talk, I said, well, what's your plans for Zambia? And it was really a very shallow plan. It was to go over there and preach the gospel. And then he started talking about Botswana. And as we began to pray into his ministry, we recognized that he was limiting to what he could do and not what God could do through him. And so I started talking, well, let's start talking about a corporation. Then let's talk about a board of directors and some people that will hear your vision. And as we began to move forward, his vision began to grow and grow and grow. And that's vision casting. That's taking things that's beyond what our plans are. I say that I attempt something so great for God that it's doomed for failure unless God is in it. And so vision casting is getting beyond what we can do and what God wants to do through us. He knows our plans, but but we don't know his plans. And he says, I want your plans to line up with me and follow after me. And so that's where God is taking us today. I worked with a group of people that were three Zambians. They were business people. They were strong Christian people. They got my name through a Kenyan. And so they contacted me. And for 6 weeks, every Saturday afternoon, they'd be in the office. And we were just vision casting. They came to me because they were a couple months behind on paying their employees over there in Zambia. They ran a clinic, Prestige Health Foundation. And so they were running the foundation, and they were behind on making payments to their staff. They had two nurse practitioners, and they had a part-time doctor, and they were a couple months behind, and so they were in desperate need of a few thousand dollars. And so in that need, I said, well, what's your plans for the ministry? And for 6 weeks, we began to plan out that ministry. And we did reach out to somebody, and somebody helped them to catch up on their expenses. But then we began to vision cast. What's God saying to you? We put together a 10-year plan that only God could fulfill it. We were talking about building hospitals over there. We were talking about buying ambulances that we'd be able to put all over the territory. And in the meantime, they were trying to make that month's budget. We began to see God move in some mighty ways. And in 2 years, we surpassed what God's plans was for that ministry, or what we had planned for that ministry. Because in 2 years, the country, Lusaka is the capital of Zambia. And in that period of time, the government of Lusaka recognized their calling as a hospital. And their ministry now has gone from two nurses and a half-time doctor. They now have 38 people on staff at that clinic, because they never could have envisioned something like that. But when we begin to work God's plans and we begin to work in the supernatural, we're going to see some incredible signs and wonders take place. It's not what we can do. It's what God can do through us. As as I was meditating a few months ago, I'm sorry, it was 2 years ago, I was meditating because Tall Oaks, Brad Potts, who's one of the founders of Tall Oaks Academy, came to me and said, Larry, can you guys cut off a couple acres for the school so we could build a school? And he came to do me several times with that same thing. And I said, listen, the leadership is not going to tear off anything to build a school here. And so, but what I started doing, I began to think of my resources around the area, thinking, well, is there anybody else that we can get them to purchase a couple of acres and build a school building? Not us, them. So I had their interest in heart, and we felt that God had connected us together, but that, and I never even addressed it to the leadership. I just felt that they would not do it, and I didn't want to waste their time thinking that we would do it. One day I was meditating in the office, and again, I was just thinking, who can we get to sell some property where they can start building their school? They don't have the funds to do it anyway. They're here because we are debt-free, and we charge them very little in rent. And so, but they wanted to start raising and putting money aside for the building. And so one day I'm saying, God, where can we find some space for them? And I heard a voice. Sometimes I confuse my voice and God's voice. But I heard a voice say, well, you build it. And you being the church. And I chuckled. I literally chuckled because I knew that was my flesh. And so I said, God, there's just no way that we could do it. We don't have enough people, and they're not going to want to borrow money. And I'm thinking in my mind about a $15 million budget. I said, God, there's just no way. And then as I began to sense that maybe it's not me saying it, maybe the Holy Spirit is saying something. So I let him continue to talk to me, and I kept saying, well, I know that it's going to take $500,000 just to put improvements in, because at that point we were looking at a different location to put the building. And so I said, there's just no way that we could even think about doing that. And then he reminded me of what he's taken me through the past 30 years of different churches and different programs, and even this program. And he said, why are you making money your excuse? And that kind of stopped me. Because I knew that God, and I've said it so many times, that God works with the supernatural. And when he tells you to do something, he never makes it a money issue. And so what I found out was that when we get into vision casting, his vision for us has to line up with Scripture. Otherwise, it's us doing things. And so I looked at Scripture about his purposes and his plans, and we felt that God had brought that school to us to help us in association with them to further the vision, the original vision of the founder of this church. The original founder of this church was very much about training and sending, and that was his, for years, that's what he was doing, was sending people. He was training with Broker Hall used to be a Bible college. And so he was investing in people and then sending them around the country and around the world. And great testimonies about what they did. And so I felt that it was lined up with the vision of this church. And so the more I began to recognize it, I recognized that God brought Tall Oaks here for this time and for this purpose, because that's what they're doing. We're invested in them. We consider almost like an association or partnership with them. And so that's where we were going with that relationship. The church leadership has been very supportive of moving forward with that vision and taking it to the next level. And so I just felt that the Lord was confirming that's where he was taking us. Some of the prophetic words over this facility and this property was that people would be coming in from all over the land, people of every shape, color, and size, and be coming here for what we were offering. And I believe that that fulfillment of Scripture is coming, a vision and prophetic word is coming past very quickly. God wants to use us in the supernatural. I'd like to give you a story of an event as I was church consulting a few years ago. I had a friend who wanted to take care of the business side of a particular church in Milwaukee. And it was a Baptist church, it was a black Baptist church that was just doing some incredible things in the inner city of Milwaukee. And so he approached me and he said they also want to get into a building program. They had just been finished a building 5 years ago, and they had got very comfortable with that building. And the thing is, they began to grow like crazy. I never knew anything about the pastor, the church, or anything, But I showed up for the meeting and I walked through their sanctuary and my knees totally buckled with an anointing that was in that sanctuary. I thought, well, this is not a Pentecostal group, this is a Baptist group. And I didn't think that they'd have that kind of an anointing. And so I went to the meeting, and again, I didn't know anything. First time I'd ever been in the church. And first time I met the pastor was that day. They called him Bishop Ricky Bird. Just a great guy. And he called my friend Bill, was wanting to try and get the accounting part of the. And I was there just to encourage and listen to what they needed. And so while I was listening and experiencing that anointing that was in the sanctuary, the pastor was saying, we need a youth facility. They literally were buying up houses. This is not a nice area at all, but he was buying up houses right next to the church in order to tear them all down and build a big youth facility. Now, they had incredible, terrible parking problems because most people are parking out on the street, and they were renting the school during the Sundays for their services for parking. So I was listening to what he was saying, and I began to say to him, you don't have a youth problem, you've got a church problem. The problem is that everybody's wanting to come and hear you preach, and the side effect of that is they're bringing their kids, and the kids are overpopulating your building. And I looked at him, and again, I just totally felt the presence of the Lord. And here I'm giving a word to the pastor. And I said that you don't need a building. You don't have parking as it is, so you don't need another building. You need to. You're not a local pastor. That's exactly what I told him. You're not a local pastor. You're a regional pastor, and so you need to go find yourself 40 acres, and build a new building out there. Because if you're close to the interstate, people will be able to get to you, and you'll be able to minister to even more people regionally. And so he listened to everything that I was saying, wondering who I was. And I was wondering where that nerve was coming from to be saying this to the bishop. And so he thanked me and he said, the Lord put us here in this building, new building, and until I hear from the Lord, we need to stay here. And so that's fine. And I thought, well, he's not going to be calling me back to do anything with him. But he did call back and he said, I want to proceed with moving forward with building this building. And so for a year and a half, he paid me on a monthly basis to advise them on a building that I just felt was not good for them. And so I actually knew of the Catholic diocese in South Milwaucee, that the Catholic Church was trying to pay off some bad monies that was related to some of the priests and their troubles. And so I knew that they could pick this building up for $5 million. It literally had 400,000 square feet under roof, had two large sanctuaries of over 1,000 each, a huge cafeteria, 40 acres of property, and they were only 2 miles from the interstate. And so I took him through there while at the same time we were putting together preliminary drawings for a building. And so he was all excited, and then he called back and he said, I just don't have the faith for it. I don't have the faith for it. So we just continued to do preliminary stuff with blueprints. He was paying an architect, he was paying me, and he was still buying off the rest of the properties, those houses. So one day he called me. He says, Larry, you're not going to believe this. He said, by me, there's a mall that's right off of Interstate 43, and I saw that there's an auction going on for that property. And he said, I went to that auction, and I put a bid in, and they accepted my bid. And so it took him that long to hear. Again, it really goes back to when God is speaking, then if we listen, And regardless of how silly it sounds, because here he's fighting that he's just moved into this big building, and how am I going to pay for it? And he says, Larry, I have no idea. I think he paid $1 million for this whole deal. Just a fantastic. He says, now we got to figure out where to get the monies from. And so he now owns both buildings. He has churches in both of them. He renovated a spot in the mall where he has 1,000 seats. I've not talked with him in probably 5 years. It would just be so interesting to see where God has brought him to. Because again, God gives the vision, and it's up to us to hear the plans that he has for us. And so today, I just want you to hear vision, and I want you to hear plans. Because we can have a vision. For 30 plus years, I worked with pastors that had a vision, but they didn't know how to get that vision fulfilled. And so if we begin to walk in his steps, so many times we hear vision, but we don't see plans to bring it into existence. And so to look at where we're at today, and I look at the vision of Doc Broker, and my first reaction is, God, we just don't have the people to do it. And so I took my eyes off of people, and I took my eyes off of funds, and I began to listen to what God wanted to do. And so, some of this stuff would be the first time that the leadership has heard this. But then every time he takes us through a program, he always confirmed his word with some kind of a miracle or a confirmation that this is my plans. And so after I rested my heart that, God, we've got to figure out how to go forward with this. It was not maybe a month later, we got a call from actually Pleasant Prairie and saying that we know somebody that wants to build a cell tower on your property. And so, and over a 50-year period, it would be equivalent to like $2 million and bringing monies in on a monthly basis to the church. And so that just was absolute confirmation from the Lord. But the real confirmation was a Sunday morning when an inspiration of the Holy Spirit hit Bruce, and he goes over here and slams this basket open. Do you remember that? When he did that and he spoke, he said, $100 million is nothing for God, nothing. And he said, all we got to do is just have faith. And what came out of that was people began to write checks and deliver them up while he was preaching. And so that was an absolute confirmation that, God, you're saying something. And so we need to be in a position to move on it. So we are in agreement. The leadership is totally in agreement that the timing is now to move forward. What I say constantly is that we can do our part, but one thing we're not going to do is borrow money to build a building. And so, God, we're setting everything up to work a miracle. And so we need to see that miracle working. I absolutely am so tired of hearing miracles that took place with the apostles and the disciples and our forefathers. And I'm saying, God, I want to see miracles today. And so so then he reminded me of the many times in the 30 years where I saw miracle after miracle, ways that we could never figure out. God was providing monies for building programs, or God was providing monies for missions. And so we see the supernatural. This is an absolutely supernatural experience for God to make this thing happen. And so we are saying, we don't know how. I can get us up to, just in my own abilities, I can say, if we do this and this, we can make this happen. So, Lord, we'd be very close to it. But the Lord never works that way. He never does. There was a Just a couple more stories, and I'm going to stop it. There was a church in Beach Park, black congregation. I helped them to get into their building they were in, and they had packed it out within a year. And then the pastor came to him and he says, I've got a chance to buy the synagogue in Waukegan, right on Sunset. And I said, well, let's see what we can do. So I put a plan together. I took it to the bank and I said, here's our opportunity, because we'll open up a daycare center and we'll have other sources of income to come in, and we're going to grow. Just as soon as we move in there, we're going to grow. And so the bank said, well, we'll take a chance. But what had happened was that after we got the building, the YMCA, which was just a block away, came to us and said, we've packed out our place. Will you allow us? We had a wing. Again, it was a Jewish synagogue. We have a wing there. We'd like to air condition that place for you and give us a 10-year lease on that property. And so they came in and totally renovated that whole wing. It was an educational wing, top two stories. And then they started paying us more monies than what the mortgage was. And right after they did that, then we had a developer that was just a little bit south of us, north of us, and they said, can you allow us to put a sign up here? And it might be 2 or 3 years, but can we put a sign up? They were paying us $900 a month to put a directional sign on our property. So there was more, and I would have never said that God could do it that way. But God will always do it if we walk in faith. So where are we going to come up with $11 to $15 million? I've got no idea. That's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to have faith to believe in his plans and not our plans. So is his plans today to fulfill the vision that's been 60, 70 years ago? And I do believe that now is the time that God wants to move on this group for signs and wonders to see those miracles take place. I absolutely believe that the church today needs fresh testimonies of signs and wonders. I tell people constantly about what just happened to Terry. I do believe that was a supernatural miracle of that healing. I've got several people that has experienced the same thing, that has paralysis that was associated with this church. So there's so many other things that we're seeing God doing. But if we begin to say, well, let's have faith to trust God for these kinds of programs, then and ministries, and each one of our lives, he wants each one of us to seek him and seek his plans and put our lives with his plans. We just so often put our plans out there and says, God, bless our plans. When he says that, I want you to follow my plans. And I just absolutely firmly believe that God's plans are relevant for now and today. I'm saying right now, this time is relevant to me. So he's looking for people to be extraordinary, and the way to be extraordinary, and he just takes ordinary people to make them extraordinary. And so the challenge today is, are we willing to say, God, we want to be extraordinary? And so that's the that's preparing us for today's meeting. I encourage you to be a part of the business meeting, and with that, any of the leaders have anything to say? Okay, let's pray. Father, we recognize the season that we're in. We recognize, God, that we look with natural eyes, Lord, we just seem to see chaos and frustrations and fears and doubts. But Father, we don't look at the temporary. We don't look at the temporary kingdom, but Lord, we look at the invisible kingdom. We recognize, Lord, your kingdom, Lord, is to go forth and not to just sit idle. Your word occupy, God, means that we're to be a very active group. And so, Father, as we reach out, each one of us individually, to lock into what you have for us, then, God, we're not going to be fearing by looking at natural eyes, but, Lord, we're going to be looking deep, Lord, into our spirit, God, because, Lord, you told us to go and establish your kingdom here on earth, and, Lord, that's what we want to do. Not totally understanding of what that kingdom should look like, but, Father, let us do our part to establish your kingdom here on earth. We just thank you, and just ask you, God, just to continue to lead the church here, the leadership of the church, bless them. And, Lord, let us not be afraid, but, God, move in expectations of what you're doing. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.